Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 87 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
But there's active logging going on. It has been along the ridge to the southwest side of Knapp Avenue.
The city of Moorhead will host a logging forum next week. Local court officials have asked the State Court of Appeals to stop text messages from being read by a circuit court judge in Bath County. Moorhead State University's AmeriCorps program has received nearly $500,000 in grant funding. Kentucky State Police are stepping up patrols this weekend. A Kentucky sports radio host is considering a run for U.S. Senate. In sports, Moorhead State University volleyball is battling it out in their season opener. Bud Luke has the stock report. Partly cloudy skies tonight, a low around 62. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news. Yesterday on Mountain Edition, we discussed the case of Judge Beth Mays, who is facing official misconduct charges with the Judicial Conduct Commission and criminal forgery and public records tampering charges in Bath County. We erroneously reported the Judicial Conduct Committee would review text messages from Judge William Lane, Commonwealth's attorney Ronnie Goldie, and Lane's secretary, Deanna Roberts, but have since discovered that is not the case. When Beth Mays requested for the final commission hearing to be postponed, she explained that Bath Circuit Court had filed the order for the cell phone providers to produce those text messages. She asked the committee to give her time to review them to prepare her defense. The JCC denied the motion to delay the hearing, saying the text messages were irrelevant in Mays' misconduct hearing. Lane, Goldie, and Roberts have filed a motion with the State Court of Appeals asking for the text to remain unseen by the judge in the criminal case. Mays is scheduled to appear in Bath Circuit Court on September 17th for a pretrial conference. The city of Moorhead will be hosting a public forum regarding logging inside the city limits next week. Set for Tuesday, the forum will have representatives on hand from both the Kentucky Division of Forestry and Division of Water to answer questions. The meeting comes in response to numerous city residents who think logging has resulted in property damage, and City Council member Tom Carew says he shares those concerns.
The Kentucky legislature, in its infinite wisdom, passed a law that bypassed city zoning ordinances that permits logging inside city limits. And there's probably, I'm sure in many cities, there are probably appropriate places for that to take place. But I think when you're logging in a dense residential neighborhood, essentially the ridges above these dense residential neighborhoods, our normal best practices in logging just don't work.
The forum will be held in the Moorhead Conference Center on Tuesday at 5 o'clock. The Moorhead State University chapter of AmeriCorps is receiving federal grant money as they continue to serve the region. MSU Corps works to increase the educational success of high-risk school-age youth by providing reading or math tutoring and other coordinated direct services. Joe Rowe is the project director for MSU Corps. He says the program is a great opportunity not only for those they try to help, but also for Corps members.
So they get a living stipend, and at the end of their service, they will receive a educational award that they can apply toward any current student loans they have, or they can use that award in the future for future education purposes.
Of the over $7 million in federal AmeriCorps funding being awarded in the state, $455,000 is going to MSU Corps, as well as some partial match funds from area schools. For more information, visit moorheadstate.edu/MSU Corps. Kentucky State Police say troopers are stepping up their enforcement efforts on the state's roads through Labor Day weekend. Police say the Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over campaign focuses on removing impaired drivers. Troopers will be conducting traffic safety checkpoints statewide to enforce all traffic laws with attention to seatbelt and child restraints, vehicle safety, insurance compliance, registration violations, and speeding. Kentucky reporters and readers alike are mourning the loss of a celebrated journalist and educator who championed the First Amendment freedom of the press. WUKY's Josh James has more.
A Covington native who earned his doctorate at the University of Kentucky, Mike Farrell had a career at the Kentucky Post spanning two decades. Under his watch, the Post earned a Scripps Howard National Journalism Award for distinguished service to the First Amendment, a subject he went on to explore in his doctoral dissertation. This is Farrell speaking with WUKY in 2016 during a dispute between UK and the school's student newspaper.
We believe that government transparency is essential so that government is accountable to the taxpayers and voters, and that includes the University of Kentucky, which is funded by tax dollars and tuition.
The tenured UK journalism professor served as the director of the Scripps Howard First Amendment Center at UK's School of Journalism, where he also served as interim director. Farrell, who suffered from diabetes, was on medical leave from UK and passed away after a hip replacement and several falls placed him in hospice care. He's being remembered by colleagues and friends as gracious, deeply knowledgeable, and, quote, the best example of what a journalist can be. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Kentucky sports radio host Matt Jones is officially exploring a run for Senate. Jones has announced he's launching an exploratory committee, but he won't make a decision on whether to compete for the Democratic nomination until November. The well-known radio personality says he has one-of-a-kind platform that's given him a unique view of the electorate.
I am fortunate. I have a voice in this state where I can talk to people that very few Democrats can talk to, and they will listen to me. I have to at least consider. This is not a desire to have an office. People say, why don't you wait and run against Rand Paul or whatever. I don't have this huge desire to have an office. It's the possibility of doing something to better the state and the country.
If he decides to jump in the race, Jones would need to overcome skepticism from national Democrats who favor retired fighter pilot Amy McGrath, a formidable opponent in Senator Mitch McConnell. The Democratic field also includes Mike Boyer, Steve Cox, and Benny Smith. The Kentucky Supreme Court has sided with Governor Matt Bevin in his bid to rein in outside spending in the office of his rival in the 2019 governor's race, Attorney General Andy Beshear. Beshear says the high court decision means Bevin, quote, just gave the opioid companies one of their biggest wins nationwide, adding that the ruling will have a devastating impact on cases against companies that have ravaged Kentucky, end quote. The AG has touted his office's work and currently has 9 opioid-related cases in the pipeline.
This lawsuit makes Kentucky the most aggressive state in pursuing these companies in the nation. And it makes the Attorney General's office the most aggressive AG's office out there in ensuring that these manufacturers and distributors are ultimately accountable.
Beshear and Bevin have sparred since taking office and will face off at the ballot box in the governor's race this November. Beshear says nearly 1,000 mining employees are in danger of facing the same battle for back pay that has led to protests in Harlan County. Beshear says a new report from his office shows the Kentucky Labor Cabinet may have failed to secure a single performance bond for any mining company operating in the state. The AG maintains that the bonds are required by law for any mining company that has existed less than 5 years and would have ensured the miners protesting for pay from bankrupt Black Jewel would have received their paychecks.
There are nearly 30 licensed companies, and there could be more, that appear to be subject to this requirement, and the Labor Cabinet has not required one of them to post the bond to protect the workers.
Labor Cabinet Secretary David Dickerson told the Lexington Herald Leader that there is no method that allows the cabinet to uncover when companies are required to post the bond, open their doors. Beshear's office says the data they cite is all public. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays downtown Moorhead on U.S. 60 near the City Park. The Round County Farmers Market offers homegrown fruits, vegetables, and baked goods. Accepting WIC and Senior Farmers Market nutrition vouchers and participating in the Community Farm Alliance Double Dollars program, supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud.
Kentucky's two largest electric utilities are sending crews to Florida ahead of Hurricane Dorian. The crews will help with expected power outages whenever the storm makes landfall. The National Hurricane Center on Thursday said the Category 1 storm is expected to strengthen into a potentially catastrophic Category 4 with winds of 130 miles per hour and slam into the U.S. on Monday, somewhere between the Florida Keys and southern Georgia. Louisville Gas and Electric and Kentucky Utilities are sending 165 employees and contractors to Florida for the storms. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis declared a state of emergency last week. Florida Power and Light was among several Florida utilities requesting assistance from other utility partners across the region. A Kentucky lawmaker has filed a ban the box bill, KNN's Haley Hansen reports.
State Representative George Brown says his bill aims to stop employers from asking applicants about their criminal history during the job application process. Under the measure, employers would also be banned from asking about pending criminal cases, which Representative Brown calls unlawful. If passed into law, it would not apply to law enforcement positions. Brown hopes his bill will prevent discrimination against those with past convictions and will allow them, quote, profitable employment opportunities. I'm Haley Hansen.
A mental health professional in Lexington says children are suffering from increased anxiety because of potential violence at school. Active shooter drills and talking about the issues are necessary, but some people think it might be going a step too far. Janet Vessels is a counselor at Lexington's Integrative Counseling Center. She says over the past 10 years, her office has seen kids' anxiety increase a lot.
Sometimes it is about potential for threats, and sometimes it is just their own fear about leaving home.
Vessel's advice to parents is to pay attention and be conspicuous about what threats are credible. Kids should be reminded that a school shooting is unlikely, but if it does happen, adults are there to protect them. A Northern Kentucky man spent 11 days in the hospital after he was having sharp pains and shortness of breath. Doctors found fluid around Michael Current's collapsed lung and could not find the cause. Current said he's been vaping for years as an alternative to cigarettes, but is now concerned that vaping could be the cause of his mysterious medical issue.
I had no problems before in my life, nothing. So they had to get all that fluid out, and I'm laying in bed for days getting this fluid draining. They said so far, so good, but they're all scratching their heads. I said, how this happened? They just don't know. I don't know.
Current hopes doctors and health officials will learn more as he continues to recover from his illness. A majority of registered voters say they support repairing the nation's aging national park infrastructure, which includes four sites in Kentucky. House lawmakers are considering legislation that would channel up to $6.5 billion in funding to the National Park Service to begin upgrades to crumbling roads, outdated water and sewer systems, and eroding trails and campgrounds. Sherry Murphy, head of the Bowling Green Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, says Kentucky's national parks need a complete overhaul.
Those infrastructure-type projects aren't glamorous, but they're necessities for those parks to be able to continue to operate. And then, of course, the roads and bridges themselves. It's one thing to fill a pothole. It's another when the road needs to be resurfaced.
The Restore Our Parks and Public Lands Act would use money from oil and gas company fees paid to the federal government. The body of Ulyss Steely, a Kentucky native and World War II soldier, is being returned to his family after many years. Steely was killed in the attack on Pearl Harbor along with 2,400 other soldiers on December 1, 1941. Steely's great-nephew, Mark, is already planning for the funeral, which is set for October the 5th.
Already hearing people in the community talking about we should line the streets all the way to the cemetery in honor of his service.
The bodies of the crew who manned the USS Oklahoma were recovered between 1941 and 1944 and remained in a cemetery in Hawaii until now. Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for Saturday, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 3 p.m., partly sunny skies with a high near 84. Saturday night, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy, a low around 64. Sunday, a 10% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening, otherwise mostly sunny throughout the day with a high near 87. Sunday night, mostly clear, a low around 65. And for Labor Day, a 20% chance of showers throughout the day, but mostly sunny with a high near 86. Currently here in Moorhead, it is 86 degrees, also 86 degrees in Flemingsburg, 88 degrees in Maysville and Ashland and Inez, and it's 89 degrees over in Lexington. On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff muses upon human error and how terrible it can be.
When we start seeing groups instead of individuals, we take a great risk. We take the risk of condemning someone because of our own purport. If this, therefore that. If a certain heritage, then a certain predisposition. If a certain economic class, then a certain disdain for the poor or the rich. If of a particular gender identity, then by nature bigoted. Or if a particular skin color, then racist, forward and backward. All of these ways of thinking are flawed. Not because they're never right, but because we are so often wrong about things, about one another, about the facts compared to our feelings. Let's consider the very worst case where this being wrong happens, despite great efforts in process and practice to avoid mistakes, sentencing convicts to death. Finding a more precarious decision to examine may not be possible. The decision by people speaking on behalf of the state to execute another human being is beyond serious. It's mortal, not immoral, but mortal, irreversible. So one way that mistakes can neither be rectified nor recalled. Once carried out, there's no editing a death sentence. The United States have, taken together, executed nearly 2,000 people in the last 5 decades. Many think at least a dozen or so were innocent. What cannot be denied is that nearly 200 persons have been released from death row because they were erroneously convicted. This suggests that there could be about a 10% error rate in the death penalty cases. Even if it is 1%, the point here is made. We make mistakes, even in the gravest, most methodically rendered decisions, such as the decision to execute. While most of us will never face execution of that sort, there is such a thing as social execution, ostracizing, boycotting into oblivion, listing people as reprobates, racists, sexists, all of the ists and phobias that are taken to mean a person is not valuable. Condemning someone as an ist or a phobic executes their reputation, removes means of support or income, ends careers, distresses families, creates safety hazards, and breeds suspicion and distrust, even when found to be in error and corrected. Social media spend far less time on corrections, retractions, and apologies than accusations, rumor-mongering, and condemnation to social death. Let's keep in mind, then, as we proceed through discourse wielding the powerful tools of social media. If it can happen there, despite all the protections, it can more easily happen out here, where it's still the Wild West for making accusations and attacks on persons using media. Sentencing people to death row and making mistakes is horrifying, incomparably, but a close second would be the social assassination of women and men who dare to speak their minds, say how they feel, or aver philosophies that may not please your highness. Tolerance, then, in its best form, will not be of others, but foremost of our own selves, tolerating, monitoring our propensity to make mistakes. Caution may follow.
Hell, you're crazy.
I'm John Modaff.
Commentator John Modaff is a professor of speech and communication here at Moorhead State University. It's 449 and 87 degrees here on the beautiful campus of MSU. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Chaz Jenkins and Ty Martin. We're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, offering paper and document shredding services for Moorhead and Round County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Secure, confidential, and HIPAA-compliant, drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250. That's 784-1250. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center, keeping the environment clean and green. 784-1250, Facebook and online at moorheadrecycling.org.
Moorhead State's volleyball team is battling it out in South Carolina. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tom Martin. The Morehead State University volleyball team lost their season opener on the road this afternoon. The Eagles faced off with host school Winthrop at 1 p.m. in the first game of the Christy Curtis Volleyball Invitational in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Morehead traded wins with Winthrop, falling in the final set. They lost the match 3-2. Head coach Jamie Gordon expects to utilize some new faces at the tournament.
We've got six freshmen, all of which can play as needed. Mia Swearingen, who is a sophomore, played a very limited role for us last year. I think she will be a new fixture for us out on the court. Hannah Keating, who had a great beach season, is really showing some nice things for us. And I think two of those players will do a nice job along with Carly Reynolds to fill some of the gaps that we've had in the middle.
The Eagles are currently facing off with North Carolina A&T. MSU closes the event facing Davidson Saturday morning at 10 a.m. The Round County football team is hoping to move to 2-0 tonight when they face off with Bath County. The Vikings have been on the losing end of the matchup for the last 4 years, but a big win over Morgan in week one has bolstered the team's confidence. Head coach Kelly Ford says the Wildcats are always a tough opponent.
We just got to basically win the ball up front again. I mean, they're going to come in and be a power running football team. They do a really good job of scheming on defense that we will have to have some adjustments, just like playing chess. We got to make moves when they make a different move. But they'll be ready to go.
Game time tonight in Owingsville is set for 7:30 p.m. Taking a look at other Friday night lights in the region, Morgan County travels to Betsy Lane. Fleming heads up to Greenup for the Chiefs Chevrolet game. East Carter hosts Lewis County, and Ashland Blazer welcomes Boyd County. After a hot start to the season, the Round County High School volleyball team is gearing back up for tournament play this weekend. The Vikings will be heading to Elizabethtown to participate in the Hilliard Lions Fall Classic tomorrow. Heading into the tournament, Round is 6-0. Coach Steve Walters says it can be kind of stressful replacing seniors year to year. However, he says a lot of work goes into the JV squad.
We actually played really well. Preseason, we've normally been playing pretty decent, but we've had some ups and downs. Last night, it just kind of seemed like we were hitting pretty much on all cylinders. Right from the get-go, we were serving really well, which was putting pressure on them and forcing them into a lot of out-of-system balls that we were just picking up.
Round is set to play Crittenden County during round one of the Hilliard Lions Fall Classic, followed by Ohio County and Elizabethtown. Morehead State Soccer is gearing up for a home match against Akron on Sunday. MSU has had tough losses against Butler and Louisville to start the year, but head coach Warren Lipka says he is confident those matches have helped his team improve, especially on defense.
That's what we got to continue to do moving forward, no matter if it's against an Akron, against, and the next, all the teams, yeah, the remaining schedule. We've learned how to take away space, and we got to keep that up going into these games now.
Morehead State is still looking for its first win on the young year. The Eagles take on the Zips in Morehead on Sunday at 2 p.m. The University of Kentucky football team opens its 2019 season tomorrow at home against Toledo. The Wildcats went 10-3 last season and 5-3 in conference play. UK head football coach Mark Stoops says he plans to keep the team's head in the game.
Situation is, it's the opener. Playing Toledo, we're at home. It's a new season. And that's part of what we'll talk about. And then we talk about motivation, and we talk about football keys.
Kickoff is noon Saturday at Kroger Field. The Cincinnati Reds are working with a hard turnaround as they head to St. Louis this evening. The Reds went into extra innings during their matchup with the Marlins last night before falling 4-3. Manager David Bell tells Fox Sports Ohio that these obviously aren't ideal circumstances, but it's part of the game.
That's what it's all about, you know. You're always challenged in this game, and we're playing each game like it's a playoff game at this point, and there's no other way to play. It's fun, so it'll be fun to see how we can face this challenge and try to overcome it, and see how well we can play this weekend.
The Reds and Cardinals are set to face off four times this weekend. First pitch this evening is set for 8:15. Officials with the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife are reminding bow hunters the season opens a week later this year. Opening day will be on Saturday, September 7th. Conservation Officer Sergeant Homer Pigman tells Mountaintop Media about another change, the extension of crossbow season.
This year, our archery season will open up on September 7th and usually opens up on Labor Day weekend. So we're actually going to open it up on the 7th day of September this year. 2 weeks later, which will be September 21st, we'll start our crossbow season. Both these seasons will run all the way into January.
Both seasons run through January 20th, 2020. And finally, in sports this afternoon, a Kentucky lawmaker makes another push for sports betting in the state. Here's KNN's Paul Miles.
Democratic Senator Julian Carroll has pre-filed legislation that would allow sports wagering at any horse racing track or off-track wagering facility. The bill requires a majority of the revenue generated from sports betting to go to the state's ailing pension systems. Carroll filed similar bills in the past two legislative sessions, but they did not get a hearing. Meanwhile, Indiana is preparing to offer sports betting beginning Sunday. A majority of the state's casinos and off-track wagering sites have received temporary sports betting licenses. I'm Paul Miles.
And that's going to do it for sports. I'm Tom Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Soccer welcomes Akron at 2 p.m. on Sunday and Miami of Ohio at 6 p.m. on Friday, September 6th. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks were little changed as investors took a breather following a wild month of trading, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 41.03 at 26,403.28. The S&P 500 was up 1.88 at 2926.46. The NASDAQ Composite did drop 10.51 at 7962.88. The major indices posted their worst monthly performance since May. The Dow was down 1.7% this month, while the S&P 500 lost 1.8% and the NASDAQ dropped 2.6%. And, of course, U.S.-China trade relations intensified this month, which rattled investors. The CBOE Volatility Index, or the VIX, widely considered to be the best fear gauge on Wall Street, was as high as 24.81 this month before pulling back to close around 18. Investors also loaded up on traditionally safer assets such as gold and silver. The Spider Gold Trust was up 8% for the month of August, while the iShares Silver Trust ETF was up 12.8%. Today, China's foreign ministry said that U.S. and Chinese negotiators are maintaining, quote, effective communication as the two countries try to strike a trade deal, according to Reuters. The report follows comments from the Chinese Ministry of Commerce yesterday that hinted China will not escalate the trade war. President Trump also said that some trade discussions had taken place yesterday, with more scheduled over the coming weeks. U.S. economic data has continued to be strong. It was reported that U.S. consumer spending rose 0.6% in July, and this topped estimates of 0.5% going into the report, and also consumer confidence remains near its highest levels in nearly 20 years. On the commodities markets, oil was down 2.8% at $55.12 a barrel. Gold dropped 0.3% at $1,532.60 an ounce. In Europe, stocks sold off somewhat today, with the Stoxx 600 index down 0.75%. Most of the Asian markets finished in the black today, as the Nikkei was up 1.2% and South Korea's Kospi was up 1.75%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Marathon Petroleum up 64 cents at $49.20, PPL up 24 cents at $29.55, Delta Airlines down 7 cents at $57.81, Kroger was unchanged at $23.67, and Community Trust Bank was down 22 cents to finish at $38.90. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Shawmarie Mosley, Nacogdoches Miller, Sarah Mead, Jonathan Burton, Zoe Hall, Lori Likens, Cody Robinson, Wyatt Melton, Chaz Jenkins, Jonathan Burton, and Michael Green. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Haley Hansen, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Dr. John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ty Martin and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.